Hello and welcome to Chapter 2 of Business Process Outsourcing. I'm Nitesh Verma. In the first chapter, we discussed the overview of outsourcing. In Chapter 2, we will go through BPOs a little bit in detail, right from reasons of outsourcing to the evolution of BPOs from first generation to the fourth and fifth generation. We will talk about the different outsourcing BPO models as well. So just as a recap, what is BPO? So BPO involves contracting out specific business function or processes to an external service provider. So you identify certain aspects of your business. It could be traditional operations like customer service operations, back office, or it could be claims management, form processing, IT processes like software development to a provider. And again, it could either be onshore, you're outsourcing to a provider within your own country. It could be nearshore to neighboring countries. For example, India outsourcing to Sri Lanka, or US outsourcing to Mexico. Or it could be offshoring, US outsourcing to India, or UK outsourcing to India or Philippines. So outsourcing could either be onshore, nearshore, and offshore, but it involves identifying specific activities, functions of your business, which started from being non-core, but as BPOs have evolved, technology has evolved, providers have become more skilled, and now they offer niche services. Even critical business functions are being outsourced. For example, Apple outsources the entire production of its iPhone components. So BPO's importance in today's business landscape, it started from cost savings, labor arbitrage, but has moved beyond. It's now enhancing efficiency. It's also about accessing skilled manpower, which a company may not possess in-house. So there are multiple benefits, multiple reasons why a company would choose to outsource. So that takes us to the reasons for outsourcing. So the first reason, the primary reasons were that you outsource your process to a third party, you reduce your cost of operations, and you free up your internal resources to focus on your core business operations. For example, let's take a technical company, Microsoft, for an example. Now, Microsoft started outsourcing its customer care, customer management operations to BPOs in India and elsewhere. That allowed Microsoft to focus more on product development, enhancement of its software products, be it Microsoft Office or Microsoft Outlook, or supporting development of new ideas, research and development, while the entire customer onboarding, customer complaint management was being done by the service providers. So they would outsource a non-core but integral part of their business to a provider at a reduced cost, and they could have their in-house resources focus on their core business. That's the primary reason why outsourcing gained momentum as a business practice. The third reason is quality improvement. Now, let's say a service provider who's been providing customer management in terms of customer support, complaint management to multiple companies. So they have a established process of managing customer service operations, right from technology, infrastructure, the hiring and training of resources, the ability to scale up and scale down, the monitoring of the entire process. So they could provide better quality in terms of output to the client organization. So quality and efficiency become another reasons to outsource. Then also space management. Outsourcing helps you reduce the need of physical space. Some operations are manpower intensive. For example, back office operations, customer care operations, you need to hire sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands of people. So if you outsource, the need of physical space is reduced or eliminated in certain business processes. Then it also allows organizations to undergo structural changes more efficiently because you are eliminating certain processes from your entire organogram. You're outsourcing that to a service provider. Scalability becomes another key aspect because BPOs, since these processes are core activities for them, their hiring, training, onboarding, or even removing certain employees in certain job roles is much, much, much quicker compared to client organizations. So it provides scalability, whether it is scaling up or scaling down. That's a major advantage. For example, handling increased volumes in peak business environments like peak seasons. So scalability becomes a key factor why companies would outsource certain processes. Then comes risk management. You're able to share your responsibilities with your service providers who have ready processes, structures in place to manage risks for what would have been a non-core activity for the client organization. Now let's look at some additional reasons for outsourcing. So customer satisfaction, operational efficiency, and benefits from industry developments. Now, as I said, customer management or customer complaint management is a critical process, but it's a non-core process for the company who is outsourcing. But for a service provider, that is a core process. So they would invest all their resources, their energy in improving the quality of their core process. So hence, they are able to deliver better operations, better outcomes. That improves both the satisfaction and the efficiency of the outsource process. And also, they are more aware of the latest developments if it comes to technology and trends. Let's talk about customer service, for example. Now, customer service is seeing certain developments because of artificial intelligence and machine learning. If you talk about 10 years ago, you would have to talk to a person, a customer service rep, or you would have to manually chat with a customer service rep to get your queries answered. But now you have AI chatbots, or even AI voice bots, who would either chat with you or answer with you. So for a service provider to be aware of these latest trends and invest in the latest technology is more easier, more practical compared to the client organization. So let's say if you are a small company in the US, let's say you only have about 300, 400 employees managing core business operations. So for you to be aware of the latest developments in terms of technology and trends in managing customer service operations is much, much more difficult compared to a service provider who is managing customer service for 10, 20, 30 different clients and has thousands of manpower. Because then they would have a specialized research and development department who is monitoring trends in terms of technology, what's happening elsewhere, and could then provide that latest technology and process to all their clients. So by outsourcing, clients benefit from these developments and expertise of their service providers. So let's come to the decision to outsource. We discussed this briefly in the first chapter, why companies would decide to outsource, and all the benefits that we discussed, be it cost saving, be it risk mitigation, be it the efficiency improvement, or to the ability to focus on their core activities, are drivers for their decision to outsource. So derivation from organizational core strategy, the decision to outsource aligns with the organization's core strategy and vision. Otherwise, it would fail as an activity. It needs to fit into your core strategy, whether it is getting the expertise at a reduced cost or the ability to hire a provider who is more skilled in terms of technology, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of manpower availability to meet your business goals and objectives. And the impact on your business growth, profit, and value for all the shareholders. So outsourcing can indirectly influence company growth, profit margins, and shareholder value by optimizing costs and improving efficiency. But now, because of even core processes being outsourced, outsourcing can have a direct influence. For example, customer service outsourcing. If you manage customer service operations in a better way, at a better quality, at a reduced cost, it is indirectly impacting your profit margins and value for shareholders. But let's say if you are a new startup and you're outsourcing your app development, here outsourcing is directly influencing your company growth, profit margin, your value for all the shareholders. So outsourcing, depending upon what activities you outsource, will have a direct or an indirect influence on your growth, profitability, and the value for shareholders. So let's look at the global outsourcing dynamics. Now, large-scale outsourcing between Western and Asian countries has been prevalent for the last few decades. Companies in US outsourcing to India, Philippines, or UK outsourcing to India, Philippines, and elsewhere. So exploring the economic advantage of outsourcing between regions with significant currency value differences. So the US and INR trade, the valuation of the currencies plays a major part. Impact of currency valuation differences. So leveraging currency variations to gain financial benefits in outsourcing transactions. So these become critical factors why companies would choose. So when you're evaluating, if you go back to our discussion of the outsourcing value chain from strategic to transition to operations. So in the strategic phase, when you're deciding where to outsource, this becomes a critical factor. And same goes with the time zone advantage for turnaround time. Sometimes a different time zone becomes a critical aspect. For example, let's talk about claims processing in the healthcare business process outsourcing practice. So when patients in a hospital in the United States fill up a form during their daytime, the scanned copies are then shifted or transferred to a provider in India who work during Indian daytime. So back office operations can operate in different time zones. It does not have to match the time zone of the client organization. So while the hospital staff and the patient in the United States are sleeping in the night, somebody in India is processing their claim. And by the time the next day starts in the United States, the entire claim has been processed and it's ready for action to be taken by the hospital staff. So here there's a time zone advantage. It's a big advantage in the medical transcription or business transcription or legal transcription. So because you have somebody working in a different time zone, so by the time you are ready to work the next day, a lot of work or the entire work has already been completed. Sometimes you need to look at companies who can offer you a similar time zone or a time zone overlap. Those are more for customer facing operations. For back office operations, you would look at companies who could operate when you are not operating. So you would evaluate different factors. So currency valuations, time zone advantages, or turnaround times become key factors to determine where to outsource. So let's now look at the evolution of BPOs. We spoke about the history of BPOs or outsourcing from 1970s, how it moved from traditional outsourcing to the digital age, and how machine learning, AI, or quantum computing would impact outsourcing as an industry. So the historical association with the manufacturing industry. So BPOs initially focused on non-core functions, especially in the manufacturing sector. Even in the services sector, it focused initially more on the non-core functions, telemarketing or form processing, data entry, customer service. But now BPOs have evolved and even core activities have become part of your outsourcing practice. So the evolution phases of the BPO industry could be summarized in 5 generations: first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and we'll talk about those. So BPOs have evolved from a cost-cutting tool to a strategic enabler, incorporating advanced technologies and wider business functions. So there was a time when BPOs started in the 70s, it was mostly in the United States, but then companies started outsourcing in the 80s and early 90s to companies in India. Then the companies who were outsourcing, the Microsofts and the healthcare companies or the banks, the credit card companies like Capital One or American Express, would train the service providers on their processes, their technology. So they would handhold the service provider in right from understanding the process to delivering the operations. But now the service providers have a ready framework which the clients can use. So BPOs have evolved, technology has evolved, the service providers are more skilled, have become better experts at respective domains compared to the clients, and even the customer expectations have evolved. So here we look at the evolution of business process outsourcing from reducing dependency to cost savings to advancements in technology, and it has moved to strategic decisions. So companies are not outsourcing now only for cost advantages. That is and will remain a part of BPOs, but now they're also outsourcing critical parts, right, from manufacturing of their products to development of their new software, managing their entire network, which has critical customer and business data. So BPOs from the first and the fifth generations have evolved, which we will discuss. So here you have a snapshot of BPOs moving from the first generation, where cost advantage and labor arbitrage and outsourcing non-core functions were the primary reasons. Then in the second generation, we saw offshoring become a critical part. So in the first generation, companies in the United States would outsource it to a service provider in the United States. So more of onshoring. In the second generation, we saw offshoring becoming prevalent. Companies outsourcing to companies in other countries. So global BPOs started taking prominence in the second generation. In third generation, it was about wider range of functions. And then in the fourth and fifth generations, we look at more advancements in technology, especially in the last decade or so, with machine learning and artificial intelligence becoming more prevalent. So let's discuss each of these generations, the first to fifth generations, in the evolutions of business process outsourcing. So as we discussed, first generation was primarily about saving on cost. The same process, the non-core activity, being carried out at a much, much, much lower cost. The second generation moved jobs globally. So a customer service executive or a back office executive from US, the job role was transitioned and moved to an offshore service provider in India or Mexico, or later on to Philippines, Romania, elsewhere. In third generation, we started looking at wider adaptability of business process functions. So wider range of functions were outsourced, and the focus shifted from only cost to quality improvements and improvement in efficiency. So expanding outsourcing to critical business function with an emphasis on quality improvement. The expectations of clients improved, and the improvements in technology and connectivity, when it comes to internet connectivity or telecommunications, was a major reason in this strategic shift towards outsourcing critical business functions. In the fourth generation, we saw a reduction in operational cost, innovation and business value became important. So BPOs became a source of innovation, creating business value. We saw research and development also becoming a part of BPO processes in the fourth generation. The fifth generation embraced analytics, big data, and cloud computing. And this is seeing further progress in the next few coming years. The current phase involves adopting cutting-edge technologies like analytics, big data. And here is where service providers have become more skilled in certain processes, certain technologies, certain domains. So now clients are benefiting in terms of a reverse knowledge transfer. In the first and second and third generations, it was knowledge transfer from the client to the service provider on how to carry out a process. But as we move into the fifth generation, service providers have certain skills, technology, which the clients do not possess. So here we see a reverse knowledge transfer when we come to the fifth generation. Let's now talk about evolution of BPO in India. So first it started with captive centers. Now captive centers are clients setting up their own outsourcing units in India. So for example, Microsoft would set up its own offshore unit in India. Startup BPOs were new Indian entities who started providing services to clients across the globe. And then we saw entry of IT majors like Infosys and Wipro, companies who started first as IT companies, but they made entry into the BPO space either through acquisitions or starting their own units. So historical development stages in India, from the establishment of captive centers to the entry of major IT companies. And the evolution in Indian software industry from addressing skill shortages to becoming a global tech hub. So Indian industry has moved. So first, it was the larger companies in the United States or Europe who set up their captive centers. New companies started in India. So people who would have worked with global companies, then they set up their own centers. And then we saw entry of the Indian IT majors who either set up their own divisions or who acquired existing smaller units and then started attracting global clients to the Indian BPO space. So India transformed into a global tech hub, BPO industry evolving into a hub for cutting edge technologies and global collaborations. Then you also have specialization in cutting edge technologies. So here again, as we said, our service providers have certain skills and technologies which the clients do not possess. So they outsource in order to acquire that knowledge and that skill. So the role in digital transformation and global collaborations, BPOs play a pivotal role in driving digital transformation initiatives and collaborating globally. So service providers who have certain technologies and sometimes they would have developed their in-house solutions, they're able to incorporate that for their clients and drive technological advancements for companies who choose to outsource to these IT majors. So that brings us to the captive models. That was the first model. So here, as we discussed, in the captive model, a company would establish its subsidiary or a division in a selected location to handle specific business processes. So Microsoft would identify a particular process, or American Express would identify a certain process and would set up a subsidiary in India and move that process from its US office to its Indian subsidiary. But the Indian subsidiary is still a part of Microsoft or American Express as an organization. So these BPO setups were called captive models. Then we had a build, operate, and transfer model. So in the build, operate, transfer, as you could say, there are three stages where an entity builds a new BPO setup. It operates it for a given time frame till the processes become mature and the desired outcomes are being delivered, and then it transfers the ownership and operations. So the BOT model involves a third-party service provider building and operating the outsource processes on behalf of the client. And this arrangement provides the client with immediate operational capabilities without the burden of initial capex and management and hiring and training. So this is a strategic approach to leverage external expertise. And then we also have the joint venture model, where two entities combine together and set up a joint venture in the offshore location. So here you have the BPO models, captive, the BOT, the joint venture, and you have the niche. So here you have certain service providers who provide niche BPO services. Now, in the earlier three models, companies provide different kind of services. So a company would also provide healthcare BPO services. They would also provide back office services. They may also provide user testing, network management. But in the niche BPO, you only provide certain domain services. It could be software development, it could be app development. So these are niche. It's a subset of the entire BPO practice, but you're only providing a certain category of services, which could be either applicable to a certain industry vertical or to a certain process in an industry vertical. So these are different BPO models. Captives are now not as prevalent. They're now even called shared service centers, but these are different models through which BPOs evolved in India. Now let's look at the operational models of business process outsourcing. So first you have process specific models. So here, outsourcing specific processes or projects. So customer care process or supply chain or claim processing. Then you also have professional services, which we discussed as knowledge process outsourcing. So it could be legal process outsourcing, finance and accounting, or HR process outsourcing. Then we had manufacturing, where we discussed, for example, Apple outsourcing the manufacturing of iPhone components to factories in China. And then we have operations outsourcing. So where you outsource the entire business operations, including call center and maintenance contracts. So these are different models of BPO process outsourcing. So again, a graphical representation of the four models which we discussed.